come in there, Gracie.
Society and basically to the world. He wanted to reach out to young people and teach them what the world is really about. And at the end of the day, we live in a capitalist society and the world is about economics. And the people who really gangsters and the people who really thugs wear suit and ties every day and they work on Wall Street. Now, when it boils down to it, everything you got on, everything you buy, there's somebody somewhere who getting paid for it. Whether it's the Windex your mama uses, whether it's the Nikes on your feet, whether it's the rims on your car, at the end of the day, there is somebody sitting in a big corporation somewhere who getting a check from the money you spend.
That's right.
Now what we need to do as young black men is figure out how to leverage the masses of money. What we gotta understand is that it's nice to be an athlete, it's nice to be an entertainer, it's nice to be an actor, but at the end of the day, all them dudes employees, they work for somebody. 50 Cent worked for somebody. You know, Mike Vick is an employee. They will fire his ass tomorrow. Let him not run, let him hurt his knee, you know? And what we gotta understand is that in this world of economics, we gotta learn how to play the game. We gotta learn how to invest our money. We gotta learn how to make sound business decisions. We gotta learn that having money in the bank is better than having money on your feet. I mean, it's better to have on a pair of raggedy, dirty tennis shoes and have $200 in the bank than have on a pair of fly Jordans or whatever the newest Nikes are and have no money in the bank. And most of these folks that we idolizing and that we look up to are what they call nigger rich. They got no money in the bank. They show all their money. You can see it on them. See it on their arm, you can see it on their neck, you can see it on their feet. They ain't got no money in the bank. They got million-dollar attitudes, and they got overdrawn bank accounts. Now, what we got to do as young black men is figure out how to play the game. And one of the main ways to play the game is appearance. You can't hate what you can't see coming. As long as you disguise yourself as a conformant to corporate America, they will allow you to play the game. They can never steal what's in your heart. And at the end of the day, what's in your heart should be the advancement of black America and of black people. And the only way we can advance ourselves right now in this day and age is to learn how to live between both worlds. We got to figure out how do we conform and live within the financial, business, and corporate America world, and also how to still be respected, loved in our own communities and help other young brothers come up and do the same. And so what John has given his life's mission to is bettering communities through financial literacy, teaching people how to budget their money, teaching people that it's you know, how to have a car loan instead of leasing a car, how to have home ownership instead of rent, you know, why you should, you know, own your own home and drive a Toyota Corolla instead of renting an apartment and driving a Benz. And that Benz do you no good, they kick you out your apartment, you'll be sleeping in that car. And what John has devoted his life to is educating young black people on finance and how to better themselves financially, which makes them better people, and also how to combine that with the spiritual and the physical. Now John has a national nonprofit organization. They raise over $10 million every single year. He's the main person that raises that money. He has offices in 13 cities across the country. He got a big, beautiful office on Wilshire Boulevard in Beverly Hills with about 50 employees. Blacks and whites work for him. And he came from South Central LA and decided early on when in his life, when he was about your age, that he was gonna make a difference in this world, and that he was gonna start right then taking the steps and preparing his mind, preparing his body, preparing his spirituality for the type of person he wanted to be. He believed it in his heart, even when everybody around him was telling him, you ain't gonna amount to nothing. You ain't gonna be nothing, you just lazy, you sorry. And he took it upon himself to say that he was gonna do more for his life than everybody else around him. And what we gotta understand is, all the gangsters and the thugs dead in jail or rolling around here in wheelchairs. And that, like I said, the real gangsters on Wall Street, making money with no gun, the legitimate way. And so I'm gonna bring forth John Bryant to speak to you, and I hope that you will take the time to really listen to him. I mean, this is just one weekend, and I think that, you know, all of what the counselors are telling you and the fact that this community cares enough about you to bring you out to this nice place and try and help you get your lives in the right direction and to better yourselves as human beings is something you really should take advantage of, because life really is short. And the decisions that you make today will carry on with you for years. And the best way to move forward in your life is to be like Jesus, be like Martin Luther King, be humble, to be comfortable with yourself, and to love your neighbor, even if your neighbor doesn't love you. And so I'm going to bring forth John Bryant, and I hope everyone will pay close attention to Mr. John Bryant.
Jesus. some people say that we are ill-behaved, ill-prepared. We can't conform. Yet, I don't know you. I just walked up to the front of this stage and said not a word. And in 30 seconds, you got so quiet you could hear a pin drop in here. Don't tell me what we cannot do. I'm not sure, first of all, is God good? I'm not sure that, you guys all hear me okay?
Yes.
I'm not sure if you realize who is just up here on the stage talking to you. He doesn't draw a lot of attention to himself. He doesn't like anybody making a fuss over him. Bo Young is in his early 30s. He had a rough time in school, was considered a rough young man growing up, and people didn't know what he was making. Bo Young today owns a house in Atlanta, Georgia. He's got a place in New York City. He's CEO of a company called Young Solutions, an envelope manufacturing company that 2 days ago wrote a $2.5 million contract. Just one time. Now, I said he's in his early 30s. Now, there's something else about Bo Young. Bo Young has a father who is a very interesting man. His name is Andrew Young.
My.
Let me break it down.
Sir.
Right on to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Reverend, mayor for 2 terms of Atlanta.
Right.
Congressman for 2 terms of Georgia. United Nations ambassador for the United States of America to the entire world. Co-chair of the Olympic Games. A bad brother.
Yes.
Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
Sir, he's right here in Atlanta. You have access to him. You need to write him a joint letter and have 20, 30, 40 of you sign it. And ask Andrew Young to come and speak to you. And if you ask him, he will, because he loves young people. And he doesn't complain about anything, but Andrew Young will sometimes complain to me that he gets calls from these white schools all over Georgia and all over the world to come speak to him, but he never hears from young black people who want to hear his message. Do you want to hear about Andrew Young?
Yes, sir.
Don't you want to know somebody that's changed the world and walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yes, sir.
Don't you want to walk with kings and queens and know somebody who can stand before anybody in this world and say, you will respect me?
Yes, sir.
And you need to stand up and give Andrew Young a round of applause. God always works it out. I don't want a mic because I like walking around. Well, that means that you're going to have to work a little harder to hear me. That means you're going to have to listen. Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
Now, I know you guys have house rules here, and I respect that. But for the next 40 minutes, you will not call me sir. My name is John. You have a name. What's your name?
Jeremy, I'm John Brown. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Nigo? Nice to meet you.
Garrett?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Who am I talking to?
Yeah.
That's right.
So there are these character traits of eagles. And so an eagle has dignity. And an eagle is a high altitude bird, and an eagle even raises their children differently. An eagle's nest has sharp little twigs in it. Message: if you get big enough, when you're pushing up against the inside of that nest, you better get up and go get a job. Talk about you 48 years old living with your mom. Anybody in here want to be 48 years old and living with your mama? Or do you want to be 48 years old and able to give to your mother? That's what I'm talking about. But then you've got another kind of bird. Another kind of bird is a buzzard. And buzzards are low altitude birds. Am I boring you? I see a couple of folks yawning. You sure I'm not boring you? Because I get paid $10,000 for a 45-minute speech, plus first-class airfare and a nice hotel. I'm here for free. I had to drive an hour and a half to get here. Am I boring?
No, sir.
I just want to make sure we're communicating with each other. So buzzards are low-altitude birds. Buzzards love pats. Buzzards are always stepping on somebody else's head to elevate themselves. Buzzards are always planning, never player congratulating. Buzzards always have something negative to say about somebody. Well, who does he think he is? Well, why is he up there? But buzzards are not the worst kind of bird. The worst kind of bird is a turkey. Because a turkey's got wings and can't even fly. All they do is profile. Trying to be something they are. How do you say parking your leased Cadillac on the front lawn of your rented apartment building? Profile. And then there's a guy that I know who was a turkey. His name was Tweet. And by the way, I didn't grow up just in South Central LA. I grew up in a place called, before that, Compton, California. Compton, California made South Central LA look like a nice place. And when I was growing up in 15512 South Braley, next to me was a guy named Tweet. And Tweet was about that tall, weighed 110 pounds wet. But Tweet was from the Crips. And Tweet would stand like this. And he would flex and he'd profile. And he scared everybody in the neighborhood. And Tweet, fool, got all these folks in my neighborhood wrapped up in this game. And Tweet would try to intimidate even me because I was his neighbor. And Tweet even got to my friend named George. George was a straight-A student, but George wanted to be like everybody else. He wanted to be like Tweet. George is dead. George was shot, hanging out with the gang. And Tweet went to jail, came home, and also got shot. Now, Tweet used to play and hate me. But today, I have 100 employees, not 50.
I'm talking about the LA office.
Thank you. We are in 17 states, not 12. We'll be in Africa next year. My payroll is $150,000 every 2 weeks. I raise $25,000 a day. I won't go to lunch with you unless you can give $25,000 to my organization. I control 12 companies. I'm chairman and chief executive officer, which means I'm a big baller, shot caller in my world. And the cats who used to grow up with me, who were profiling, now calling me, trying to ask me for a job. Now you tell me, who won, Tweet or God? Now, you may be Eagles in here, but you may not know yet that you're an Eagle. My wife, who's fine, my wife, Sheila Kennedy Bryant, my wife told me the story of an eagle's nest, and one of the baby eagles fell out of the nest into where the hens worked. And the little eagle baby was raised in the hen family. And when the eagle got old enough, the eagle would see eagles flying and say, "I wish I could fly like that." And would be told, "You can't do that. You're part of the hen family." And 5 years later, they look up again and see the eagle fly. "I wish I could fly like that." Told again, "You're part of the
hen."
I said, "Well, what happened at the end of this story?" She said, "The eagle died." Oh, that's a depressing story. I mean, it's not like a positive end of the story. She said, "No, the eagle did not know who he was." I don't think you got this. Let me break it down another way. There's a difference between being broke and being poor. Being broke in economic conditions, but being poor is a disabling frame of mind and a depressed condition of your spirit, and you must vow never, ever, ever to be poor again.
Yeah.
I still don't think that you're getting what I'm talking about. Let me try to recount this in a story. The story requires me to tell a joke that's a little off color. I need your permission to do it. It's about a black town in the South, and it's a proud black town, and there's a black man, a responsible, proud black man like this one, with his son talking about life on the right. Now, I got low self-esteem, folks. Now, I need attention. Now, if I see you guys talking to somebody other than me, I'm gonna get the impression that you don't really value me being here. And I've already told you what I'm getting paid for this speech, right? Which is how much?
Zero.
I'm getting paid zero for this speech. I'm investing my time in who? So if I get even the hint, not the impression, not the whiff, not the influence, if I get a hint that my time is not being valued and respected by every one of you, I'm holding each and every one of you accountable for my time. You will not waste my time. You waste your time. You understand me?
Yes, sir. Mama.
Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
So the minute that I see you disrespecting me, I'm gone.
Yes, sir. I got you.
Oh, boy.
Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
You're not impressing me.
Right.
My money's in my bank. My mercedes is in my driveway. My car and my home are in place, and my fine wife is waiting for me. But I'm here with you. So I made my commitment to you. I've shown that I love you because I am here. And so that I am here, we're fixed to be. Black man, if I'm here, what would you be? Did you get it? Whoa, come on, brother. What'd you say?
He's claiming he's a doctor, but he's still arguing with the parents.
Thank you, church.
Thank you.
You got to decide to have an attitude and not cop an attitude. You got to decide to redefine success in your life as going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm.
There you go.
You got to decide that you're but you're going to break their heart, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to repeat that. You're going to break their heart, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
You're going to absolutely break their heart.
Yes, sir.
Because you will not be denied. Let me tell you, what you're looking at here is not a black man who comes from some bougie neighborhood. Let me tell you what's up. Y'all think you had it rough. I grew up in Compton, California, and kids would ditch you or pass my house and go up the street to the liquor store to buy candy and be late for school. Because my mother raised me differently. My mother told me she loved me and saved my life. I understand that you may not have this environment in your home, but listen to me and what happens when you do. My dad has owned his own business for 53 years. Black man, 80 years old. My mom and my dad never finished high school. Listen to me now. They got an eighth grade education. My mother, at age 62, went back to school and graduated high school. So here I am now, I'm 10 years old. How old are you? 17. How old are you?
13.
Okay. How old are you?
12.
So between 12 and 17, about right? Okay. So I'm 10 years old. I'm younger than all of them. They go past my house, deep to the liquor store to buy some. I go to the store, the guy who owns the liquor store in my neighborhood, you buy candy at the liquor store. Is that the way it is in Atlanta?
No, sir.
Okay, thank God.
I know that's
right. But back in my neighborhood, you bought candy and liquor. So I said to the store owner, guy, Mr. Matt, his name, you're selling the wrong kind of candy. He said, go away, little boy, I've got a college degree. I said, that's nice, I got candy. You're selling the wrong kind of candy. He said, go away, little boy, you're following me. So I went back and talked him to hire me as a box boy. And I stayed there working for 3 weeks. Just long enough to figure out how he bought the candy wholesale and sold it retail. So when you're buying candy at a dollar, that means somebody else had to buy it at 50 cents.
Yes, yes.
Make sense?
Yes.
I mean, they're trying to make some money, right? So if you bought it at a dollar, they bought it at... So I learned that they bought it at wholesale and sold it at...
Retail.
Very good. What are you buying it at?
Retail.
That's right. So if you bought it at a dollar, they bought it at what?
Retail.
If you bought it at retail, they bought it at what?
Wholesale.
That's the first lesson of capitalism. So I didn't quit. Went to my mother. Bumped $40 off my mother. She made me work for it. Because nothing in life is free. I took the $40, went to the place that he bought his candy. How did I know where he bought the candy from? It said it on the side of the box. I'm not talking about something fancy here, folks. I'm not talking about some college. It said Irish Food Store. With the address. So we went to Irish Food Store. And I said, I want to buy some candy and start a business. They said, oh, nice little boy. It must be a school project. Let's help him out. They gave me candy, which I just ate half of. I hate candy to this day. They gave me racks. I set up in my den, the neighborhood candy house, and made $300 a week. Now, I'm 39, do the math. That was 29 years ago. And I made $300 a week. How many of you today would like to make $300 a week? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Legally, I might add. Now, I made $300 a week and had this business, and I was rolling, then I found a girl, lost the business, and a recurring fee in my life. This is why I got one woman today, just one. That's a dollar I can afford, just one. And by the way, you get the right woman, she'll make you money. She won't cost you money. And so, which is why You know, brothers, excuse me for saying this, a black woman's name is not Dish.
Thank you.
And calmly bought that white company. I was 25 years old. GED degree out of high school. Homeless. 5-6 years before. Don't tell me what God cannot do. Yeah. I don't know if you in here know. So, Rebecca, so far, are you with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Is this worth your time?
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to waste your time because your time is
valuable.
Because you are eagles, right?
Yes, sir.
And nobody's going to pimp your time, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I want to make sure I respected you like you respected me. So, I don't know if anybody in here has ever heard of Bank of Hoover. Bank of Hoover. Bank of Hoover issued something called a secure credit card. Anybody here know what a secure credit card is? You know? It's okay if you don't know. You think you know or you know? What is it?
It's a credit card where only you can get you can only get access to it and spend money off of it.
It's close. It's actually pretty close. What is it?
If somebody steal it, you can get used.
Close. You have to actually be very kind to me. It's okay, I told you. I'm just John to you. So go ahead. I mean, just hit me between the eyes. You know what a secure credit card is. Tell me what it is.
A card that you can only use, nobody else can.
You guys are being really nice. Let me just tell you what a secure credit card is. You know what it is?
It's like practically an anti-theft credit card. Like when you
hit
the phone call,
everything
should kind of isolate
itself. Hey, you guys, you guys think I'm rolling or something? Hold on, huh? Do you? Thank you, my brother. Thanks for covering for me.
When you put money down on the card without credit.
Come on, guys. Here's what I'm talking about. My brother here trying to cover for you, man. Rob, thank you, Rob. Now, I don't mind being transparent. I don't mind being naked in front of you. You can see the good and the bad. It's okay with me, because I know who I am. It's okay if you don't like me. I like me.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what a secure credit card is. Hold on. This is a homeboy shopping network credit card. This credit card is so bad that in order to get a $300 limit, you gotta put up a $300 deposit.
That's right.
I don't think y'all confident. That means your credit, no, not credit, your credit is so bad, the bank don't trust you with $1. In order to get a limit of $300, you gotta give them $300. That's bad. So I had a Bank of Hoover when I was 18 years old. I had a Bank of Hoover credit card because my credit was towed up. You should be concerned about your criminal report. You better not have one of those. You need to get your credit report straight. So here I am. I'm 18, 19 years old. I got a Bank of Hoover credit card. I pay this woman a dinner, bone profiler, turkey. I'm sitting at dinner. The bill is $26.95. I'm just praying. Please go through. Please get an approval.
All right.
I gave the lady my credit card, and I know I can send in $25 of that minimum payment, and I'm hoping that it crosses the man.
All right.
So the man will come back to me and say, sir, your card's been declined. And the worst part is when they say, sir, I need your card.
Yes.
Not just the decline. I need to cut it up. The company says, we don't want to do business with you anymore. Now, I had a Bank of Hoover credit card when I was 18 and a half. This here is a Citigroup Platinum card. It has a limit of about $25,000. What can you buy with $25,000?
A house.
Huh? A shopping spree. Whatever you got to do. Excuse me?
Huh? A car?
A car? What kind of car you about $25,000? Yes, old school Chevy, that's cool. $25,000. You get a nice motorcycle, $25,000, right? Right? Okay. Listen. I want you to tell me what this is. I don't think they heard it. That's a black car. You know it. Bo Marshall. Does anybody know what a black car is? Does anybody know what a black car is?
Insert car in the world.
What does that mean? What can you buy with a black car? Can you apply for a black car? They gotta come to us. How many of you have a black car?
American Express, no limit.
American Express, no
limit.
Can I buy this building you're in right now? To state your claim in life. You can sit down. You can hold it. You want to hold it for me? Did I get that credit card profile? Rappers running around here with these fillers and all this fake gold profiling. You think they can get that credit card?
No way.
Do you think an employee or an employer gets that credit card? Now, Martin Luther King Jr. was focused on three things: war, racism, and poverty. And right, we start focusing on poverty. In 1968, he was assassinated. And we've been walking in the wilderness for 40 years. And all we are today are high class, most of us, 21st century economic slaves. If you go to a check cashing, you've been pimped. If you've gone to a money changer, you've been pimped. If you've got a high-interest car loan lease, you've been pimped. If you can't afford to go from one week to the next without a paycheck, you have been pimped. If you have to go rob somebody and de-dignify yourself and de-dignify your community, you have been pimped. If you got to pump your own community to survive and sell crack cocaine so that you can pimp. Then you have been. When I go to the hotel, I don't have to raise my voice. When I go to the club and there's a line all around the club, all I say is, ladies and gentlemen, sir, in a very low voice, I am a black card member.
and I'd like to have a table of four.
And it takes about 28 seconds for that man to walk me right by that room inside to the best table in the house. I'm not talking to you bragging. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to impress upon you.
Thank you.
What you cannot do. When you leave here this weekend, I want you to be touched. I want you to be transformed. I want you to look at yourself differently. I want you to look at your brothers and sisters as kings and queens.
Yes.
And as your brother. And I want you to have enough respect for yourself to be able to look at another black man in the eye, go up and hold him and say, "Brother, I love you. Woo! I will never disrespect you. I will never hurt you. I hurt myself first."
Yes.
When I go look in the mirror at night,
that's right,
I'll stand in the crowd.
That's right.
It's not what you have in your pocket. It's what you have in your heart.
Now, that was it.
What did you have in your heart? What did you care about?
No, no, no.
You think it's funny? I'm about to cry trying to get you to hear me. I'm losing my voice trying to get through to you. This voice earned me $10,000 a speech. I give three speeches a week, you do the math.
All right.
And I'm here for free.
Yeah.
Talking to you right here in your sleep. You're sitting around like you're here every day.
Thank you.
We ain't gonna do it, sir.
God bless.
much. You have a great evening.
Thank you, sir.
What we want to do, brother,